AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Up, everybody. Hi, welcome. I'm George Massey. Welcome to the George Massey Show. We're doing another live recap of Happily Ever After. If you watched, it just ended about 20 minutes ago, so we're going to talk about this episode. Hey, Jal. Kara and I are going to break down some of this 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After craziness. Oh, Kara's already here. Let's get started. You have comments and thoughts, you know, Kara and I always do. So we're definitely going to get into it.
Hey.
Howdy, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. So tonight's episode, first off, there was no Tiger Lily and Adnan. And there was no Darcy and Georgie. Did you miss them?
I'm so sad.
I didn't even notice it until I was watching the preview at the end, and they were talking about Florian and Stacey heading in. So I was like, damn. But I'm not going to like pretend there's any real strong storylines that I'm really like looking out for each week. Like this has probably been the hardest Happily Ever After season to get through for me. Like, yep. It's been really hard. I'm really trying to stay engaged. You know, I was thinking of that word disengaged. And yeah. I was like, I don't think I could be any more disengaged this season. Like, I'm really, really trying to, oh, I'm sorry, Laura. Yeah, she can't join the live. She hasn't seen it yet because it's not the West Coast. Yeah, I don't want to ruin
it. I'm on the West Coast.
She says that I'm on the West Coast and it doesn't even start for an hour.
I'm in Oregon. She has to watch it on TLC Go.
Oh, see, Laura, you got to watch it on TLC Go. That way you can be ahead of the game. That way you don't have to. I don't want to spoil the show for anyone. So, yeah, I totally understand. But, yeah, I already watched it. I watch it on TLC Go. So I don't get any of the normal commercials. So I don't know what's coming up next week. But I do watch on TLC Go. So tonight was the big announcement. I know you guys already saw it. So Jasmine, who the speculation was last night when her and Matt did that horse and carriage scene that she was already pregnant, right? She was wearing a full-length fur coat. And, you know, they were like, that's weird. It looks like she's hiding something. So she made an announcement tonight to Gino that she was, first of all, moving to Florida with her baby daddy, Matt, and that she was expecting a baby. And, all right, Laura will be back next week. And so how do you feel about that? Because did you notice that Jasmine took a little bit of time before she came clean to gaslight Gino, right? She kind of blamed him for everything and kind of allocated some more guilt towards him before she came clean. And I was like, that's a master gaslighter manipulation tactic, right? Like, right before I give you what I did, let me point out some of the things that I think you did wrong. And I think that's like a master manipulation tactic. It's like, well, before I give you the benefit of, you know, me laying out the horrible things that I've done to you, let me one more time drag you through the mud and try to make you feel bad.
She's been a master manipulator from the jump. I mean, from throwing her toothbrush out to now. Like, we know that this bitch is crazy. She's crazy. But after breaking him and Natalie up, that's a different level of psycho. Different level of psycho. You're pregnant with this man's baby and you knew it, and then you break him and his girlfriend up because he's married? Shut the front door.
Well, the idea that he shouldn't be dating, but she could be pregnant. Well, because I was like, while you're having the conversation with him, she's like, yeah, you shouldn't have been with Natalie, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're pregnant.
Also, where's your kids in Panama? Focus on that shit.
It's a really high level of hypocrisy, right? And, you know, I like to point out hypocrisy. I like the meme where the person's ironing their face. So I was like, the hypocrisy here is just wild. And it's like, I understand that in her mind, like, oh, well, I'm going to justify my actions. You know, a lot of people, manipulative people, they find a way to justify their actions. But tonight I had an epiphany, Kara. I was watching it and I was like, okay, yeah, Jasmine is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and whatever. But I was like, Gino said something tonight. He was like, I was really fully done with Jasmine in our relationship. And I was like, you know what? I'm blaming Gino for some of this. Because if you're fully done with her, and you want to be done with her and you want this relationship to be over, why haven't you filed for divorce?
But why are you holding when he dumped her ass in the park with her coffee pot and the whole nine, he said, I want a divorce. And then she called him back for more. And then she called him to the bar for more. And then she keeps calling him for more and more and more. We know it's all TLC bullshit, but Gino said time and time again that he's done.
Well, is he done though? Okay, so Coco says she manipulated people to take care of her kids so she could bounce from the country. Well, yes, that too. And also, she stated that her family... I wanted to bring up, she said that her actual family in Panama doesn't know that she's not with Gino and that she's pregnant by someone else. So she's not communicating with them.
She's like, full of shit.
But wait, maybe it's true. Because maybe, say for instance, the people that are taking care of her children wouldn't be okay with her not being with Gino, but being with someone completely different and being pregnant by them. Because I was like, she probably has a agreement with her family back at home that's taking care of her kids. And maybe a breach of contract would be you cheating on your husband and having another baby. That wouldn't be acceptable, right?
No, her contract is, I'm going to get to the United States. I'm going to send you guys a bunch of money. I'm going to bring my kids over here. Even I'll probably bring Dane over here too, because, you know, I still got to pay back my ass, both sides. And it's just not. No.
Do you think she really wants to bring her kids over here? Because I heard that once she got her paperwork settled, because she's a legal citizen, like she has her green card now. So she has the opportunity to file without Gino.
Yep.
I know in the beginning, when her petition paperwork was petitioned without the kids being on it, it wasn't something that she could do until she got her green card. But she's fully past that, and it doesn't appear that she has any intentions of bringing them here. So do you think that her intention was always to leave them over there and just send money back? Because that's kind of what Larissa did. Larissa, she doesn't want them over here. She's sending the money. So it's like, you can't call her, hey Kim, you can't call Larissa a deadbeat mother, because she's definitely sending money back. And I think that's what Jasmine is doing. She's sending money back.
No. We have different versions of what deadbeat is. Just
okay.
And money doesn't mean you're not a deadbeat. You have to be in the child's life to not be a deadbeat.
Like, that's true.
If you don't ever see your kid, if I had a baby and just sent random money, that wouldn't make me a good mom.
True.
None of that would make me a good mom.
I mean, you're right. Sending support doesn't make you a good parent. And I think a lot of people are, I don't like to throw a bad mom or bad parent around, because
she's not great.
I mean, at the end of the day, if your children are fed and housed, I think that you are doing something, right?
No, because your family is feeding them and housing them. You're not, just because you're paying for it doesn't mean you're feeding them and housing them. That you're on OnlyFans, you're on TLC, you're creating all this drama that your kids are going to have to see 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. They're going to see their mom is this psychotic, crazy lunatic and go, yeah, that's my mom. I haven't seen her since I was 3, but that's okay because she gave my mom's brother, sister's cousin money to buy me some fucking mac and cheese and I ate.
I mean,
I can give you a roof. I can pay for your roof. I can pay for your food. I can pay for your clothes and never see you. And that makes me a good mom.
No, you're right. It doesn't. You're right. I agree with you. I think that, but in her mind, in her justification, she thinks as long as she's sending money over. And a lot of parents do that. I know that my dad, when my mom and dad split, he sent the $180 a month per kid until we turned
18. Okay, now tell me, I'm listening. I want you to tell me how good of a dad your dad was.
He's not a dad. He wasn't there. And he kept starting new families. I think he's on family number 3. And he just, whenever something didn't work out, he just abandoned that family and started a new one. But he did send that $180 every month per kid.
Now, your mom took that $180, and was she a good mom?
Yes.
Okay.
She was.
There you have it.
Yes, and I think what how I know that is the $180 in no way was anywhere near enough money to raise me. So that's how I know that I have a good mom, because she worked a whole bunch of jobs and did everything that she could to make sure that I was raised correctly. If at the end of the day, if my mom would have asked my dad for more money, he would have said, the court said, I only have to give you $180.
Right.
And that's how I know that he's not a good dad. Because
so just because he paid his child support, that doesn't make him a good parent.
That's true.
At every one of my son's basketball games, track meets, football games, wrestling matches, all of my daughter's theater. I was there for everything, every single thing. And that is something money cannot buy. If you ask my kids if I was a good mom, they're going to say yes.
See, you're right. At the end of the day, I think I told you this before, I think what baffles me is how many parents, moms especially, have made the decision to leave their kids in another country, because I don't think that's a fathomable thing. And I know in a lot of countries, sometimes the opportunity is just not there. And you really do have to leave to make a better life for your family. But the amount of time that passes and the moms aren't doing everything in their power.
Did she have to leave? Okay, did she have to leave? No, she had an ex that she got 10 grand from to buy a fake ass, George. She did not have to leave anywhere. If you can borrow $10,000 for an ass implant, you don't have to go anywhere. That means you could have borrowed rent money or grocery money or electricity money, clothing money. You could have borrowed money for things that are needed. You didn't have to flee the country.
You're right. And, you know, I like that word flee, because I feel like she did. She fled her responsibilities. And at the end of the day, she wasn't paying any rent. Gino was paying $2,000 a month, I think, for her to live very luxuriously in Panama. She didn't have to leave. The life that she has here, to be really clear, I don't think that the life she has when this was filming was anything comparable to what she had in Panama. She was living in Michigan in Matt's little tiny apartment, and she didn't have anywhere near the support that she had from Gino. That's why
let's put TLC aside. Let's put the whole show aside. Let's put Gino aside and look at reality. We all know that she makes millions of dollars on OnlyFans. We know that. We've looked it up. We know that. So with all that money, aside from everything else, whether you can work here or can't work there or whatever the case may be, you have more than enough money to bring your children here.
She does. Okay, so I want to address this. So there's two things that Coco Puff asked in the chat. She said, do you think once she's able to change her daughter's last name, because as of right now, it has Gino's last name. Do you think that she will? And then she also said, do you think that she really shaved her head? So did you see that she posted today that she shaved her head? So I'll go with that second one first. That doesn't look like a real photo to me.
I agree.
It definitely looks altered in some way. It doesn't look real. And I think that she's too vain. And I don't want to come off as like a dick, but she's too vain to shave her head. Right? I think she made Gino spend $1,500 to $1,700 on hair extensions. Do you remember that episode?
Yep.
Because Gino was like, why are they so expensive? She's too vain of a human being to do that. I just don't believe she loves herself more than anything in the whole world. And I just don't believe that she would do that. I think that this is she wants people to stop being mean to her.
And that's never going to happen.
If you want people to stop being mean to you, you should stop doing things that people find to be offensive. And I think
get your ass off TV if you want people to stop being mean to you.
Gaslighting Gino is not what people want to see you do. And then, you know, she does these snarky little comments of, oh, I'm such a victim, and I sacrificed everything, and Gino ruined my life. And I was like, you're the only person that believes that. Like, no one the story that we're seeing is not too far from reality. Like, I know that we're watching TV, right, Kara? We're watching TV, and I know that there's a storyline. I know that they don't film everything, but the story that we're seeing is not very, very far from the reality of what actually happened. You came over here, you lived with Gino for a couple of months, and then you started living with a completely different man. Like, we're not strayed from reality. They're not selling us lies.
You don't just live with a completely different man. You had his baby. That baby is almost two. For crying out loud, that baby's almost two, and your two other children are still in Panama. And you still have millions of dollars.
Well, yeah, her main excuse was, I didn't have the money when the visa was being filed with Gino. Boom. Okay, I'll buy that. I'll give you the benefit of a doubt. You didn't have the money to add them to the application, or maybe you weren't aware that they weren't added to the application. But now
wait. I'm looking it up right now. Look it up. I don't have my phone. Look it up. When did Jasmine start her OnlyFans? I want to know. Give me a date.
Oh, you think I can find that? Let me see.
Yep. Absolutely.
When did Jasmine 90 day start OnlyFans? I want to say she was still in Panama, right?
Yep.
It says her OnlyFans account
had her kids.
It was started December 2021.
Okay, so she had the money to add her kids to her damn application to get them to the US. I cannot with her. I cannot with her.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's before she got here.
I know.
Yo, you just figured that out. Yeah, that is before she got here. And she's been making quite a bit of money. And not only that, she makes quite a bit of money on Cameo. She's monetized on Instagram and TikTok and all these other places. So, yeah, I guess if you really want something to happen, you will make a way for it to happen.
1,000,000%. I never left the country without my kids to begin with, but much less if I had the financial means to make it happen. You think I'm going to let some jackass in the United States that won't even hire me an attorney to get me here? You think I'm just going to let him take the ball and run with it? Hell no. I'm going to hire my own damn attorney. I'm going to bring my own kids. Like, that's ridiculous.
It's always a convenient scapegoat with Jasmine, right? It's always, well, this didn't happen because of this person. Or my kids aren't here because of this. It's always a convenient excuse. And at the end of the day, if you really, like I said, if you really wanted something to happen, you'll make it happen yourself. It's not always somebody else's responsibility to make something happen. And I think if her kids were supposed to be here, they would already be here. Absolutely. They're exactly where she wants them to be. And she might want to sell you something else, or she might want to say, oh, this is all Gino's fault. She's always been preaching everything is Gino's fault. And there's some people that buy into that. But at the end of the day, like tonight, I did allocate a little accountability to Gino tonight, because I was like, the reason why this has all happened is because Gino facilitated an environment for it to happen. He should have divorced her immediately when she got here.
He never should have brought her here to begin with, period.
This is true. This is true. When he found out that she was getting money from her ex and she wanted to rent an apartment in the same building as her ex, he should have known there was something going on. So I do have to allocate some accountability to Gino, because he brought her here anyway. And this is exactly what happened. And everybody knew this was what was going to happen, right? Like, him being surprised is kind of getting old. Just like Libby being surprised that Andre is kind of a dick. It's getting old, Libby. Like, at this point, everyone knows. It's kind of like public knowledge at this point. Like, when you look up, Kara, and you say the sky is blue, I'm not going to debate you, because it's public knowledge. And I feel like Andre being a dick, that's kind of public knowledge. Where's the lie in that statement? I can't find it.
Andre's been a dick from the jump.
Always has been. And her and Lauren, I guess, I don't know, they're selling to us that they've been friends for years. I don't know. I don't follow either one of them. But I think it's funny, though, because they had a little showdown tonight, and they were kind of going back and forth on who's the faker person. And I was like, girls, calm down. You're both really, really fake.
You're like, both fake as you can get.
Yeah, like, you both get a trophy. Like, if you really want to know who can get the crown of who's the fakest of them all, it's a tie. You both are pretty fake.
The only person in this foursome I actually like is Alex.
Alex. Oh, Alexi. I mean, yeah. I do feel like he's always stuck in the middle of a bunch of mess, right? He never starts
he just
it.
He keeps to himself. He calls her on her bullshit. Like, he's just kind of to himself.
Well, what do you think about what she said tonight? She said that she felt, I want to word this correctly, because she never once said that Alexi called her fat or any of that. I want to word this correctly. She felt the way that he was always talking about fitness and approached her about fitness, that he forced her in her mind to work on her body and to get into better shape. Do you think there's any truth to that? Do you think maybe the way you approach people about health and fitness can be a little aggressive?
That's an excuse because I want plastic surgery and I want to go on the show. I'm sorry, it is what it is.
Well, when has Lauren ever been overweight? Like, I'm not trying to be rude.
Also never been accountable for anything.
Well,
literally.
Because I'm trying to think, even after she gave birth to her kids, she was never overweight. And I know she, my opinion is irrelevant because she does suffer from body dysmorphia, whatever you call it. So it doesn't matter what I see. It's not what she sees. But I was like, I don't see Alexi as the type to just walk around telling people that they're fat. I just don't see it. Like, he doesn't come across as the type. And I don't know him personally, but he just doesn't
seem
like...
Well, and we saw on the last season when she went through her surgery, he was so upset with that. He's like,
because he said she didn't need it, right?
Yeah,
he
was like, the way you are, you're beautiful, you're perfect, blah, blah, blah. And then she does it. He still supports her. And then she's all done. And then she goes and gets braces and whatever happened to her face. I mean,
I don't know. It kind of looks like she has Graves' disease, but at the same time, I'm not a doctor and I have absolutely no purpose or right to diagnose anything, but I don't know what's going on. And the braces, it seems like, have been on for an extended amount of time.
Is she not, what's her face? Pedro's sister? What's her name? Liz?
Oh,
Liz?
Nicole. Nicole, yeah. Because, okay, you know, braces are usually a year or less. It seems like they've been
Nicole
on for like...
Nicole have them for like 53 years?
I'm pretty sure they're it's not that long, so I don't know.
I think Nicole probably still has braces, and she's got to be like in her 40s by now.
I was always told that it's only a short amount of time, and then they adjust them as you go, and then once they're completely straightened, because let's be real, her teeth were never that bad,
right?
They were never that bad. There are people who have a humongous gap. Those I could understand you would need braces for a long time because they
I never noticed anything wrong with her teeth. Ever.
Well, there's never really been anything wrong with Lauren. She's always looked nice, carried herself well, you know, but again, with that body dysmorphia, who knows? Also, I was gonna say, if somebody told me Andre body shamed someone, I would be like, probably.
That makes sense.
Right, yeah. Probably. But since the statement is towards Alexi, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know him enough.
But also, I would like to point out, isn't it funny that we put Kara and Guillermo on this season and we put Libby and Andre on this season? And remember, Libby was a singer?
Yes, Libby had a very short-lived singing career.
Now we put an actual singer on there, and Libby's not talking about singing anymore.
Oh, she knows not to. I think that we dragged that woman up and down that boulevard so hard. I think that she will never fix her mouth to sing again. And I'm part of it. I dragged her. You know, we did.
I'll still drag her all
day. We let her know, stop. Don't do it. There are people who sing, and you're not one of them. Don't play with me. And I think Twitter... And Instagram, like, we dragged her up and down the boulevard to the point where she was like, okay, damn, I'll stop.
She doesn't even sing to her kids anymore.
She knows that don't play with us anymore. Don't do that. And now that, it's funny because now that Kara has come on and she's featuring her singing, they haven't let her actually sing once.
I know.
Did you notice that? Because they actually did.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen, though.
I hope so, because... They did let Libby perform live on the show one time, remember? She sang...
Yeah, what'd she sing, like...
Mary Had a Little Lamb, remember? Yeah. And we dragged her. I mean, we literally... Yeah. We found the biggest, muddiest puddle, and we just dragged her up and down.
I hate nursery rhymes forever.
Well, it's funny, though, because you said that. So Kara and Guillermo are basically calling it quits. They can't work through this, which we knew because they've been broken up for like over a year now. So it makes a lot of sense, though, because I think a lot of these couples this season, my theory, are all going to transition straight into the last resort. Because Libby and Andre are like, oh, we're fighting. And he's telling people about our finances. And Kara and Guillermo, they actually did break up. And then Lauren and Alexi, she's accusing him of body shaming and all these issues. So I'm like, this is a perfect transition for all of them to just go directly. You know how you collect $200 and go straight to go? Or whatever. I feel like they're going, you know, straight there. I feel like that's the perfect segue for that. So I don't know if it's true or not. I do know that The Last Resort is filming in a couple of months. And from what I heard, it's filming in the DR. So keep your eyes peeled for people randomly posting from the DR with no explanation. Because, you know, they are very vain people. If they're anywhere that they shouldn't be, they're going to post about it.
Absolutely.
So keep a very close eye on Kara, Guillermo, Libby, Andre, Lauren, Alexi.
If isn't Guillermo from the DR?
Oh, shoot. I don't remember where he's from. Hold on, let me Google it. You might be right.
He's either from Colombia or the DR, but I think he's from the DR.
All right, Guillermo. Actually, I think he was from Venezuela, but he was living in another country. You're right. Let me see. It says that he's a Venezuelan, but she met him during a trip to the Dominican Republic. See, great memory. So that would actually be a trip back home for Guillermo. So that's a two birds, one stone situation, actually. So yeah, I think that's where we're going. I think we're going to be transitioning. Pedro's mom is going to be there with Scott.
I will burn the fucking town down if I see Pedro's mom.
Don't worry. I didn't hear that. I don't think that we're going to see Scott back on the show. I'm just going to be 100% honest. I don't think we will. Based on stuff that he said about the network. Oh, so Brandon and Julia had their second wedding today.
I'm so angry about all of this. I'm so furious. I have been waiting to talk about this all night.
Really? I didn't have anything to say. I was bored. So you have the floor.
Okay. So Brandon's mom, just like Ron said, Betty, shut the fuck up. Because I never had problems having kids. I had a boy and a girl, and then I had a hysterectomy. Done deal. Okay, good on me. But a lot of my friends had fertility issues, and I watched the struggle. I watched the miscarriages. I watched the sadness. I watched the tears. I watched the pain. It is awful. I watched so many people go through IVF, all of that stuff. And just the fact that Julie is not ready and being told, I mean, we all know she's pregnant now, but just the fact that literally everyone is telling her what she needs to do and how she needs to go to the doctor and how she needs to have kids. These people need to sit down and shut up. I am not a fan of Julia, but I am also not a fan of any of these other people that are telling her what she needs to do with her body. Yes, she's pregnant. Yes, I get it. I get it. I get it. But she said, I do not want kids. I do not want to do this. I don't want to have surgery. My daughter just had her wisdom teeth out and had to get on three different anxiety meds because she's never been under anesthesia, and she was terrified. So the fact that she's terrified of that alone should be enough. If she says she doesn't want to do it, leave the girl alone, for crying out loud. And then, Betty, shut your damn whole mouth. Like, shut your mouth. I'm so angry with Betty.
I agree. I think, when Ron called her out tonight, I was like, oh, wow. So there is a voice of reason in this family. We don't really hear it much. But when he was like, Betty, stop. Let her have her moment. And I thought about it on a complete opposite scale. Let's say that Julia was pregnant and they wanted her to get an abortion.
Yep.
It would never be acceptable to go up to a woman and convince her to end a pregnancy. So why is it ever as acceptable to convince her to start a pregnancy?
Absolutely.
It's always 100% her choice. Always. Absolutely. Not anyone, now outside influence, not your parents, not your in-laws. It would never be okay for you to go up to a woman and tell her to end or start a pregnancy. So you're right. I think that overstepping your boundaries is one thing, but the fact that she has to have surgery, and any surgery, in my opinion, is major, because there's people who are like, oh, this is not major versus major. If you're under anesthesia, it's pretty major, in my opinion, because some people have not woken up from anesthesia. So I don't care what the situation is, whether they're opening up your heart or whether opening up your ovaries, I don't care what it is. It's pretty damn major in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And if she doesn't want to do it, she's just not going to do it. And, you know, there's a more supportive way to have a conversation other than just, like Brandon was like, just do it.
Yep.
There's a way more supportive way to talk about it. You can be like, you can go and find somebody maybe who has had the surgery and have and have a facilitate a conversation between your wife and that woman so she can get a more in-depth look of what's to expect. But you know,
also,
there's
she's from an entirely different country. I don't know how shit works in Russia, but I can't imagine it's great. But when you're told in like if I was told in America that I cannot have children, and then I went to Russia and my then husband says, oh, we'll have a second opinion. The Americans are stupid. No, don't tell me what to do. I was already told I can't. So if we get pregnant, great. If we don't, great. Like, I was ready to be a grandma 10 years ago, but my kids weren't ready for me to be a grandma 10 years ago. That wasn't my choice. That was theirs because that's their body.
Yeah.
Like, Betty needs to sit down and I liked her the first season and part of the second, but man, Betty's got to go.
I do worry a little bit because Julia said tonight, she was like, as of, you know, my final opinion and decision, I don't want kids. And I know she's pregnant. I worry in the back of my mind. I was like, are you pregnant because you want to be pregnant? Or are you pregnant because you let these people pressure you into getting pregnant? That crossed
my mind. She's
pregnant
because she wanted to be pregnant, but it's easier to tell people that you don't want kids. That way, when it doesn't happen, they think it's your choice. I have a lot of people around me that have said, I don't want kids. But at the same time, they've taken pregnancy tests and been like, I'm really sad that it's negative.
Oh, well, I mean, well, you know what they say, if you don't hope for it, you can't be let down, right? So if you always go to the, it probably is a no, and you don't build up your anticipation and hope for it, then you can't be let down. But she's never really said she wanted children. So I was always confused. I was like, does she actually want kids? Because she's always said, not right now. Every time Julia would answer Brandon on that question throughout the year, she's like, I don't see children right now. I don't see children right now. And I was like, when is a better time for you? Right? Like, because I was like, maybe you just don't want kids. Because there are some people who just don't. And I respect the hell out of people who don't. Because if you're not willing to dedicate the rest of your life, your living years to those people, don't have kids. And I respect people
for that.
Because there's a lot of people who have the kids and then they're like, oh, I don't really want them. And then those kids don't get the life they deserve because they didn't realize the type of commitment that they signed up for when they did it.
Jasmine.
Well, Jasmine, it kind of seems like she gets tired of things, even kids. Because I was like, because I think the one thing that got me with Jasmine was she told Gino that there was no way she was leaving Panama without her dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's confusing me because you have children. Like, and I get it. A dog can definitely be your child. And I totally understand that. There's many people who their fur babies are their children. But you're a mom. So, like, the fact that it was okay to leave Panama without your kids, but you would not leave Panama without Coco.
Yep.
That raised my eyebrow because I was like, I don't know. I feel like if you got kids, then you have to have all of them. All three of them have to come with you. There's no compromise.
I cannot with her. I cannot with Betty. There's so many people I cannot with on this season. And I knew it was going to happen as soon as the season started. I was like, here we go. Let the shit show begin.
Well, this episode, I want to talk about Miss Gwen. She was on tonight and apparently her and Jovi have been talking about buying a house in Louisiana and they haven't told Yara. So here's my only issue. Why would he move to Miami and give her a taste of something and then try to take it away? One thing I know, it's easier to never know what you don't have. So if he never wanted to live in Florida, he should have never brought her to Florida. Because it's basically, that's like telling your child, you know, you can't have sweets, and then an hour later, you give them a cupcake.
Yeah.
Because then they're always going to say, oh, well, no matter what mom says, even if it's no, an hour later, she's going to give in and give me what I want.
And let's be real. Yara's very Miami. She's very Miami. She's either Miami or Hollywood.
I thought, yeah, Hollywood or Miami. But taking her there and letting her experience it, and then she even talked about some of the positives of it, which it's not even you know, she's a ditzy girl, right? But it wasn't even ditzy reasons. She said that she was able to take her daughter to a Ukrainian church.
Yep.
Something that she wasn't able to find when she was in Louisiana. You know, you live in a small town in Louisiana, it's unlikely that you'll find, you know, a Ukrainian community. So she, it wasn't even for like selfish reasons. She just said being there made her feel like there was so much more opportunity for her daughter to grow up. She said right downstairs of her building, there's a place where she can get Ukrainian food.
Yeah.
So so she gave a lot of good reasons as to why she wants to move. Now, I understand that if you spend $500,000 on a house in Miami, you're probably going to get a two-bedroom, two-bath. And if you spend $500,000 on a house in Louisiana, I grew up in Louisiana, you're going to live like a king, right? Your house, you're going to have so much land that you would have to hire a team of people to do your landscaping. Like, that's just what it is. But at the end of the day, you have to live where you want to live. Because Jovi was like, well, you could have your dream home. And I was like, well, the dream home means nothing if it's not where you want it.
Absolutely. You can build a dream home in the middle of the forest.
You could literally build a dream home in the middle of the woods, and it would be the most amazing home in the world, but you would find happiness every time you leave.
Absolutely.
Because everything that you want is located somewhere else. And, you know, when you're married and you let your wife live somewhere and then say, well, yeah, we're living here now, but I'm trying to buy a house somewhere else behind your back. How do you think that's going to go? Right. Yeah. And we know that Yara does.
The way I took it was he just had Miss Gwen pricing houses to show her, like, look at, here's what we could buy with the kind of money that we have. Because even Miss Gwen said, you guys have a very large budget. So with a very large budget, that means they could have a very large home.
Yeah. But let's not forget, Yara did live in Louisiana for quite some time. And every single moment that she was there, she dreamed of leaving. And I think if he really wanted to sell her on buying a home there, he should have never left. Because it's hard for you to miss what you never had. And leaving there and showing her what the world looks like outside of the place she already hated is going to make it even more difficult.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if this is a storyline or not. I mean, the one thing Ms. Gwen said that I did agree with, she was like, you should at least have one grandparent nearby. And I agree 100%. And Yara's parents are very far away. So the idea that Miss Gwen could be a car ride away, because I remember when they moved out of, I don't remember what tiny town in Louisiana they were in, but they moved to New Orleans. And Gwen was like a couple of hours away. And that was a lot for her. So imagine what it is from Louisiana to Miami. And children need to grow up with family, right? They need to grow up with family. Every year, I would spend 6 weeks in Mississippi with my grandmother. Right. Yeah. And it's very important to spend time with your family. So I do agree with her to the aspect. OK, so Cocoa Puff says buy a vacation home in Miami. I mean, they do have a big budget. They could get a time. They could do like a timeshare. Right. You can get like a little timeshare. It costs a fraction of the cost of owning your own place. You get like a month or two throughout the year.
Keep the house they own or the condo they own and Airbnb it while they're gone. Like there's tons of ways.
From what I understand, they're renting right now. So this was literally a trial run.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is
with a big budget.
I think that this is a small issue compared to the other issues the other couples are dealing with. I think Jovi and Yara have a pretty strong relationship. So I don't think this is really going to be a huge issue. But, you know, I think they both seem like Miami people. Like, they're more Miami than I think Livy and Andre are, right? Like, I feel like if you took people from the 90 Day franchise and you, because like Darcy and Stacey, they used to live in Connecticut and then they moved to Miami and I was like, they're way more Miami than Connecticut. This is where they should be living, right? Like Darcy and Stacey had no business living in Connecticut. That is just not their personality. So when they moved to Miami, it made sense. It's the same with Jovi and Yara. It's like Jovi, you can tell he's from somewhere, but you can tell he would fit in very, very well in Miami, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
I'm sad for Yara. I'm really sad for Yara.
Well, I think she's going to get her way. I think Yara always gets her way.
I think she will too, but I don't think she's going to stay in Miami.
Really?
I just don't.
Well, I feel like Jovi being such a successful person and making a lot of money, I think that he does hold a little more power in the
but
relationship.
The thing is, with him being successful and gone most of the time, you can't tell me to move back somewhere I don't want to be. when I'm right where I want to be.
His best argument is, if I'm not there, my mom can be there. That's his best argument.
Right. But her best argument is, there's so many cultural things around me, and I feel safe here with my daughter. That wins over everything.
Well, yeah, the daughter can grow up learning about both cultures, which is priceless, right? Yeah. They don't have to go all the way back to the Ukraine for her to experience Ukrainian food or the church or the way of life. And I mean, it doesn't take away that the daughter definitely needs to go back to the Ukraine and spend time with her grandparents. That's a whole thing too. But oh, Shelly, Yara wants to stay in Miami, and Jovi wants to buy a house in Louisiana, which was something that they talked about tonight. I didn't realize that they weren't settled in. I remember when they moved to Miami over a year ago, I thought it was permanent. So I wasn't even aware that they were renting until I did some research tonight and I realized that they didn't buy anything, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll be back tomorrow because The Other Way is on and we're getting to know a lot of the new couples on The Other Way. And I think we talked about it a little bit last week. So you finished the episode, right? Did you finish The Other
Way? Yeah, I'm still mad about the fact that we have two married couples on there. Why do we keep having married people on 90 Day Fiancé? That defeats the whole damn purpose.
Oh, you mean Manon and Jenny and Submit?
Yes.
Well, yeah, because I guess it doesn't really fit in Happily Ever After. I mean, I guess it does. It does fit in Happily Ever After because they're already together.
Happily Ever After is one thing, but this is The Other Way. This is Americans going to another country to see if they want to marry someone. These people are already married. It's 90 Day Fiancé. You got 90 days to get married. None of these people need... Yeah, it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, you're right. The rules have gotten lenient. And I feel like anything goes. And you know where it started? With Liz and Ed.
Yep.
That's where it started when they brought them on Happily Ever After. When, first of all, they weren't married. Second of all, they both were American. And that's where the lackadaisy rules started. And that's where we started losing sight of what this whole franchise is about. You have to be here on a visa. A visa. Or you have to be applying for a visa. And it you know, when you go to the DMV, they don't just say, oh, you want your license? Do you have a birth certificate? No. Oh, that's okay. Lackadaisy. Yeah. You know, whatever. Just promise me that you're an American. Hell no. You got to have the right paperwork in order to get this work. And that's how this show used to be. You had to have a visa in progress. You remember at the end of the show, it said if you are dating someone and you have applied for a K-1 visa, you send an email to this email. There was a strict process. Now they'll just take anybody.
Yeah.
Right? They'll literally just take anybody. If they think you're interesting, they'll just put you on the show. And it has nothing to do with 90 Day Fiancé, nothing to do with a K-1 visa. It's just all, I don't know, I think you'll be interesting, so I'll put you on.
Absolutely. Yeah, it just, I mean, I love Jenny and Submit, but they should be on Happily Ever After.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That's where they should be. Happily Ever After is where the married couples were supposed to end up. And usually it's where they break up for some reason. Literally. So I don't know why. Oh, got here late. Did you buy Jasmine's tears? Jasmine's tears are fake.
Jasmine doesn't know how to produce real tears.
Jasmine's tears are the liquid that she drained from Angel's veins.
Yeah,
they're literally all fake. She's not capable of human emotion. So no, I did not buy Jasmine's tears. Jasmine is the queen of victimization. Yep. She is always a victim in every story of every aspect of her life. When she wakes up in the morning, if she stubs her toe, she will blame that on someone. Absolutely. Even though she was the only person in the room when she ran into the wall, she will say that someone forced her to stub
someone
her
put
toe.
The ball there in her way.
Yeah, I didn't buy her tears. And why did she shave her head? So, Shelly, I don't believe, we covered this earlier, I don't believe she shaved her head. That picture, although it was convincing, it wasn't convincing enough for me to buy that it was real. I would need to see a live video or an Instagram story. Like I said, I'll say one more time, Jasmine is too vain to shave her head. She loves herself too much. She loves herself more than her own kids. So there's no way that she cut that hair off of her head. She paid good money for that hair. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it, so no.
And so did Dane.
Right? And Gino. So many people had a hand in that hair. So no, I really don't believe she did. I think that in the end, she wants people to stop being mean to her. And by pulling a 2008 Britney or 2007 Britney and shaving your head, she thinks that we'll be like, oh, she's hitting rock bottom. We have to stop. No.
We're just going to go harder.
Yeah, Jasmine, the only way we'll leave you alone is if you stop signing up for the show.
Yeah.
Stop. Because at this point, you're digging your own pit, right? Yes. Like, each storyline that you put on the show makes you look worse and worse.
Yes.
And the only one to blame is you, because you signed on the dotted line to drag your own name through the mud. We didn't force you. The producers are not making you a victim. They hand you a piece of paper and you read it and you sign it each time. No one would think negatively of you if you would stop living your life publicly and doing these things. I actually used to be friends with her, like, on a personal level. Jasmine and I were friends. We had each other's phone number back in the day.
Yep.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore. The things that she's done and said, I don't want to hang with people like that.
Nope. Just can't.
All right,
do
guys,
it.
We're going to wrap. This was fun. This was fun. Yes. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about some more The Other Way, because last week there was a whole bunch of issues and we didn't really get to talk about the whole thing. So now that Cara's seen the whole episode, we'll be talking about both episodes tomorrow, which I think is going to be fun. So, and also we're meeting a couple of new people too, so we'll have a little more to discuss. So make sure you guys tune in tomorrow for a live after show for The Other Way. And we will be back then. Thank you to Cara for joining me. Everybody have a wonderful night. Also, if you're a Patreon subscriber, Shibuti and I will be live later. So if you want to do that.
I will not be anywhere with Shibuti.
I know you will not be joining, but if you're a Patreon subscriber, there will be another live later on tonight. Thank you, Cara, for joining. We'll talk to y'all soon.
See you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.